This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. And this was the scene this morning at Emerson College in Boston. Pomp and circumstance, black caps and gowns, and brand new diplomas for the members of the class of 2011.
It's a scene that's playing out across the city and around the region. A time of celebration and hope for new beginnings. But when the music ends...
And you can hear it fading. Tens of thousands of students will face the toughest job market on record. But there's some good news. According to the National Association of Colleges and Employers, employers are reporting they're hiring almost 20% more graduates this year than last year, which suggests that things are improving. But where are the jobs? And what are potential employers looking for from new college graduates? And what can those graduates do to maximize their chances of finding a job? Those are among the questions we'll take on in today's talker. You can give us a call at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. In particular, we want to hear from new grads out there. Have you found a job yet? Are you still looking? What are you finding? Give us a call. You can also comment on RadioBoston.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter at Radio Boston. And joining us in the studio is Kimberly Delgizzo. She's the Director of Career Services right here at Boston University. And welcome, Kimberly. Good to have you.
Thank you.
And we've got two students, recent graduates. Also joining us is Marco Morales, who graduated yesterday from Olin College in Needham with a degree in engineering. And Marco, welcome.
Thanks.
Thanks for coming in. And Hannah Simpkins, she's in the class of 2011 at BU. She'll graduate this Saturday with a degree in psychology. And Hannah, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
And congratulations to both of you. And let me start with you, Kimberly. We're hearing it's a tough job market out there. How tough? What's the best way to sort of sum it up?
I would say it certainly is a tough market, but I would say that we have hope for the future. There's optimism in the air, and employers are indicating that hiring is up beyond last year.
So what's the source of that optimism? I know in a big way, of course, that's your job in terms of what you want to tell students, but what's the substance of that optimism?
Well, in our communication with employers, they certainly are telling us that they have increased hiring this year. We are seeing that in the postings that come into our online system at BU, and every indication tells us that there is increased activity, both in selection of students for internships as well as for full-time opportunities.
So that's good. That's positive. I'm glad to hear that. Where are the jobs? How would you describe today's job market in terms of where are the strengths, where are the weaknesses?
I would have to say that there are jobs across the board. Certainly, there are some industries that are having a harder time coming back than others, but we're often hearing that there is increased hiring, particularly in IT, in biotech, healthcare, education, et cetera. Some areas of business and sales. That said, I think that if students do a great job search, there are opportunities to be found across the board.
Well, we're going to talk about sort of what makes a great job search and what students need to do and need to avoid. Let me get a couple of stories. Marco Morales, let me come over to you. Mm-hmm. You majored in product design at Olin. Tell us about your job search and your plans for the coming year.
Sure. I've done a number of different things, and they've all changed depending on how busy I am throughout the year. So earlier in the fall, I did research with online job posting listings. I looked through our database on campus through our postgraduate planning office. Later on, I was in San Francisco for the month of January working on a project, and I sort of sent unsolicited emails to companies that I thought would be interesting to talk to try and get to someone in the company to have lunch with them, to just sort of chat about their company. And then this spring, I sort of did a little bit more organic thing, sort of minimizing the time I could spend on it, but just sort of replying to job postings for products online that I use. So what I do is online software. So I'm just sending emails, you know, seeing whether or not they had an opening, just to see, start some sort of dialogue.
And how'd it go? Tell us whether you've landed a job, and if so, what it is.
So I'm still holding out for one specific opportunity that I'm excited about in San Francisco that hopefully will materialize working for a software company. But I have interviewed in Boston, I've interviewed in New York, and those are still sort of pending right now. Hmm. I interviewed a week and a half ago in New York. So those are still up in the air, but I'm not really worried. I think right now... I'm most excited about potentially living in San Francisco, though I could be swayed either way.
And any job offers so far?
No, not officially. I think I'm because I lived in Boston every single summer since I've been at Olin. I'm less excited about staying in Boston right after graduation.
So you really want to get back out to the West Coast,
right? And Boston is the clearest option for me to stay right now. Hmm. Though they don't have anything in writing right now for that, but.
Kimberly, what do you hear in Marco's story? It sounds like he took a lot of different avenues, and things sound like they're going to work out for him.
I'm very impressed. He's done some great things. What we encourage students to do is to really develop an action plan so that they can be thoughtful about how they're going to approach the job search. So I encourage students to use their university's career services and resources and to really put steps in together that will help them to get from point A to point B. There's some very specific things that they can do to enable that.
That's Kimberly Delgizzo. She's a director of Center for Career Development at Boston University. And listeners, we're taking a look at the 2011 class and how they're faring in the job market right now. If you're a recent graduate and are searching for work, give us a call at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. What are the opportunities out there? What are the challenges? What are you finding? Give us a call. Let's shift now to Hannah Simpkins, Boston University psychology major. You're going to be graduating in just a few days, Hannah. Give us a sense of how your job search is going.
Well, I began my informal job search probably back in the fall when I decided that I really wanted to go into anxiety disorders within the field of psychology. I'm most interested in post-traumatic stress disorders in returning combat veterans, which actually is a growing field at the moment. So I began looking into different veterans affairs, hospitals, VAs, and Boston has a great VA system, so it's a great area to be. And I began just by going to the Career Service Center and doing different resume workshops and mock interviews, practices like that. My plans are eventually to go to grad school, so I've also been studying for the GREs and taking practice GREs as well. And then in the spring, I solidified my job search more and actually started looking for different positions within, they're called research assistants. It's kind of the job that most psychology majors take before going on to graduate school. It's usually a two-year position in a hospital or a lab, doing research and helping run studies and experiments and data entry. And it's just to get you some experience in the field and make sure this is really what you want to do. So I've used different resources through in-person and online and different websites just to kind of apply to positions.
And how's it working out for you? What are you hearing back?
Right now, actually, this point in the point of time in the year is really when a lot of hospitals and research labs find out if they're going to be able to take on new research assistants. So right now there's kind of a wave of applicants or job applications being posted, which is great. But so far I've had a couple phone interviews and some positive feedback from people who said they would help me find a job, but they weren't looking for anything at the moment. So it's slow going, but positive.
Slow going, but positive. So yeah. You're feeling positive about it. You're not discouraged.
Overall, yeah. I think I go back and forth, but overall, yeah, positive.
Kimberly, any advice? What are you hearing in Hannah's story?
Well, one of the things that we're encouraging everyone to do is to really develop a multifaceted approach. And I think both Hannah and Marco have been doing a variety of things that include being reactive and responsive to the postings that they see that are live and current. And also, we're encouraging students to be quite proactive. And as Hannah suggested, really identifying the prospective employers. Where do people want to be? So in addition to what they're seeing, how do they identify the organizations that they might want to seek out? And then how do they begin to explore options to see what kind of postings might be available? And if there are no current postings, how can they network? Networking these days really is the key. So we need to encourage people to do that as actively as possible.
And networking, obviously, among other things, means making productive use of social media, for example.
That's one way. I do want to speak to that, though.
Good.
Many students use Facebook and other types of social media for networking. And while that's important and for social reasons, Facebook, I think, can be tremendous, it can also be challenging or problematic to some extent if students are using that for professional purposes. Mm-hmm. We highly encourage students to use LinkedIn or professional networks such as that when they're using it for the purposes of the job search. We also encourage students to be very thoughtful about what is viewable on Facebook. Sometimes they think only their friends can see things, and they would be amazed at what employers can find.
So do you have a cautionary tale about that comes to mind?
Well, we have heard from various people who have told us that they had pictures posted or their friends had pictures posted that perhaps didn't shed the most favorable light. And after pursuing opportunities with different organizations and being in contention for certain positions, they've then found out later in the game that they weren't receiving offers because of what was posted on Facebook.
Mm. Marco, is this something that you've thought of and are being aware of, being cautious about?
So the online privacy concerns, I think, are valid. It's something that no one's really solved yet. And I'm thinking about it from the product design perspective a little bit here maybe, but... I think every 6 months, really, everyone, at least I have, routinely realized, oh, this is available publicly. I don't know that I want that. Or this new album just got posted. Or I'm now friends with faculty members because I'm graduating. So that's sort of a different level of privacy, perhaps. So you often have to sort of go back and refresh, you know, your settings to see if you're actually doing what you should be doing. But by and large, I think it's if you don't post things that you don't expect people to... you know, that you don't have to worry about, you're a little bit in the safe zone. So I think it's a mixed bag.
Mm. Listeners, we're talking about a search for jobs for the class of 2011 in what is arguably a pretty tough job market out there. Give us a call if you're looking for a job and tell us your experience. Give us some advice. We've got a couple of newly minted graduates here in the studio, as well as Kimberly Delgizzo. She's the director of the Center of Career Development at Boston University. Let's get a call. Sonia is calling from Cambridge. Hi, Sonia.
Hi, Anthony. I just wanted to weigh in. I graduated in 2008 from an Ivy League institution with a degree in international relations, and I spent the last 3 years, you know, kind of struggling, and most of my advances were, most of what I managed to get were unpaid internships, and I was lucky that I was in a position where I could even take unpaid internships, but that was really the only work experience I could get that wasn't, you know, scooping ice cream or waiting tables. At this point, one of my unpaid internships kind of panned out into a temporary position. I might get hired full time, but it's very insecure. It's very unstable, and I don't think I'm alone in my demographic. My friends from school, most of them didn't get jobs by replying to job postings because there's just so many people applying for one or two little positions. It's always been through people they know, people in their family, and it's really difficult.
Sure. Sonia, thanks so much for your call, and we wish you all the luck. Kimberly, there's Sonia with an Ivy League diploma. She's got to settle for an unpaid internship, at least for the time being. Talk a little bit about that. Is that an approach that, I mean, what do you counsel students, I guess, who are facing that?
Well, she actually brings up a couple of good points. One is that many people are applying for opportunities online and assuming that that's enough, they're waiting to hear from someone. And while that's a very important step in the process, it's critically important to be getting out from behind the computer and going and actually networking and talking with people in person. So people are approaching organizations, they're approaching individuals, and they're networking. In addition to that, a lot of people are asking questions about unpaid internships, and I think there is true value to an unpaid internship. Students need to know, or graduates need to know, what they're walking into, so not to accept any opportunity. But if there is an opportunity and they're having a difficult time getting their first step in the job market in a paid position, taking an unpaid experience in an organization that's of great interest that will afford them an opportunity to grow in the areas of competency and experience that they're hoping to grow can be a tremendous first step.
Mm. Hannah Simpkins, let me ask you about that. Is that something you're considering or you might have to consider, depending on how things work out for you?
It's definitely something I'm considering. I'm planning on moving home after graduation, which will help. The biggest problem with an unpaid internship is you can't pay rent and buy food. So moving home will help with that. And I do want to look into different Veterans Affairs centers near home. They have a lot of volunteer opportunities. So it's kind of an unpaid internship. I think I'm going to try to volunteer at a VA closer to my house and live at home.
You know, I want to ask both of you, and Hannah, let me start with you, and as well as Marco. When you started college 4 years ago, did you know exactly where you wanted to be in your careers? Because you both sound very focused right now, and it's impressive. Let me start with you, Hannah.
I came and declared as a psychology major and studying Spanish as well. So as far as that, yes, I knew I wanted to study psychology. I half expected that to change, but over the years it didn't, and I kind of stuck with it. And then it was really, as I became more politically aware of the situation, the world situation right now, and just kind of had some more experience with classes and internships in psychology that I really centered in on anxiety disorders and specifically post-traumatic stress disorder. So it was a process over the 4 years of figuring out where in psychology I wanted to be. And that could all change tomorrow, and I accept that too. I might find something completely different that I like. So,
what about you, Marco?
So Olin is only an engineering school, so I'm sort of an edge case just to start off there. I knew I was interested in math and science, and building things with Legos was sort of as much as I knew about engineering going into Olin. And on paper, I was actually a mechanical engineer for most of my time at Olin. But I found that in outside projects, outside of class or sometimes in class, doing software-related projects was a lot faster to build something and make something tangible. So I wound up leaning more towards the software realm, and that's why I'm graduating with a product design and development degree, because it sort of spans a little bit of the mechanical side that I have done in the past as well as some of the software side that I've done more recently.
We have a comment on our Facebook page from Rosemary, who writes, "For me, there really isn't any pressure in obtaining my dream job simply because I need to get more education in order to obtain it. I plan on pursuing my history degree further until I reach and earn my doctoral degree, but until then, I get stuck in retail for another year." Kimberly, what do you think of that? And that is, in this tough market, I mean, I guess one of the messages that comes out of Rosemary's posting is get more education if you really want to get a good job.
I think that's a great answer for a number of people. One of the challenges that I hear often are students telling us that they're going to go on to graduate school because they think there is a sad job or economic situation. The reality is there are jobs out there. In fact, we currently in our online system have close to 2,000 opportunities posted. So students really need to look. Some students are making an assumption that there are no opportunities out there when in fact there are. So we encourage people to be thorough in looking. The other reality is that if someone's pursuing graduate study and they choose to do something in sales or in a field that's not directly related to what they're hoping to do ultimately, the skills and competencies that they develop will be marketable for them. We hear from employers across the board, across industries, that people are looking for excellent communication skills, teamwork ability, problem-solving, analytical skills. And many of these things are skills and competencies that people can develop in many different environments.
Listeners, we're talking about that tough job market out there, particularly as it pertains to the class of 2011. We've got graduations happening all over the city and all over the region, and we're trying to get our finger on the pulse of this difficult job market and how students are doing and where the opportunities are and where the best strategies are to get a job. Give us a call, 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Let's take a call from Becky, who's calling from Marblehead. Hi, Becky. You're on the air.
Hi, Anthony. It's good to hear from you.
Well, it's good to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm graduating from Wesleyan University in about a week, and I'm interested in this job market search, particularly because I think it's hard to talk about the interpersonal skills that you develop at college. And I'm interested in going into teaching early childhood education. And so, you know, writing my resume, writing my cover letters, I struggled to figure out how to say, you know, I work with people very well, and here's exactly how I've developed those skills. And, you know, you wonder about the kind of jobs that will actually help you develop interpersonal skills and communication skills as a teacher.
Kimberly, thanks, Becky, so much for that call. I appreciate that. What do you hear from Becky, Kimberly?
I'm encouraging Becky to think about how she can articulate how she's strengthened those skills, if she can give some examples. It's not uncommon for people in cover letters or in their resumes to talk about the fact that they have excellent communication skills or interpersonal skills. It's critically important to be able to support that with the information that you provide on your resume. So give us some examples. Indicate on your resume where and how you've developed those skills.
Good advice. How about that, Becky?
That's great. You know, I mean, I was also a student teacher for a semester, and I feel like experience these days is not emphasized as much as what people think of as being a leader at college. And it's unfortunate because I think that actual experience teaching and working with students and then working with your peers is really indicative of what you're going to do in the future. And I think that programs like Teach for America don't emphasize that leadership experience enough.
All right, Becky. Well, thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it. Let's try to get a couple more on the air. Fran is calling from Boylston. Hi, Fran. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Happy to do it.
I'm good. I'm a parent of a soon-to-be graduate and been going to some graduations of some friends and family. And I've just noticed that a lot of the kids out there aren't using their parents' networks to the full extent. And I think that it's an instant resource that they get their resumes, you know, through their parents' emails and contacts, and, you know, get some face-to-face contact with them. It'd be a big help.
Good point. Thanks, Fran. I appreciate that call. Kimberly and Marco, do either of you want to chime in on that? Do you come from families that have sort of, you know, facilitated, made your search harder, easier? Marco.
My parents actually didn't go to college, so I'm sort of a first-generation thing. So everything has been new to me. So the college search was new to me. The interview process was new to me. So I haven't actually gotten a chance to leverage that, really.
Interesting. Well, congratulations on that. Hannah, what about you?
My parents are, my dad's an engineer and my mom is a cook, so they're very different fields from me, so I feel like there's not a whole lot of overlap, but they have always been supportive of me and what I want to do. But as far as networking and contacts, no, I haven't really explored that option because I hadn't actually considered it until that phone call, actually, but maybe I will go home and give them a call.
All kinds of, but does that sound for some students like a good idea?
I would love to speak to that. I will tell you that students often say, well, my parents do this, so therefore they don't know anyone who does that, when in fact, people should access their wide network. So parents of their friends of their parents, their relatives, their professors, everyone and anyone, because we know people in a wide array of fields. I think we make an assumption that if you're not an engineer, you wouldn't know anyone in engineering. And in fact, that's not the case. So we strongly encourage all of our students to begin to identify their vast network and then to build on that, to talk to the folks they know, to reach out to their family and friends and ask them to give them names of folks who they know.
Let's go to Allie, who's calling from Brookline. Hi, Allie. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's on your mind?
I just want to share my experience. I graduated from a liberal arts school in May of 2009, and I've definitely found some success in finding work. It's been kind of a slow evolution, but I found the key for me was just being really flexible in what I was looking for. And recognizing that, you know, without real work experience, with only class experience, I couldn't exactly know what I was looking for.
Allie, give me, and just really quickly, you know, when you say flexibility, what kind of things have you been working in since you got your degree?
Well, I studied environmental science. I went on to work in environmental education. That gave me experience leading, working with kids. And I now work full-time in special education as a teaching assistant. So kind of just letting it evolve as it would help me get a good full-time job. So,
Allie, thanks so much for the call. We appreciate it. So the message there sounds like flexibility might be a good ally. Let's try to fit one more call in at least. Paul is calling from Brighton. Paul, you're a business owner, I understand.
That's correct. I own a real estate rental office in Brighton, where the rental market is very, very captive, and I'm short-handed. Usually I'm running 10 guys. I've got 4. And for the last, since January, I've been posting ads on Craigslist looking for people and can't find them. Granted, you have to get a real estate license. Very easy to do, though. And a lot of people don't like commission-based jobs. I understand that. But it's a $1,000 a week job this time of the year. And they're just, I'm not getting the calls. So,
all right, Paul.
Boston, things are a little different than the rest of the country.
Well, I'm glad to get that call in there. And let me very quickly, in just a few seconds it remains, Kimberly. So, any other sort of fields out there? Paul was talking about the real estate business where there are, you know, jobs going begging.
Well, again, I think there are really a lot of jobs across the board. We encourage students to think about what they're seeking and find their job at the intersection of their dreams and reality, as a good friend of mine used to say.
All right. And on that note, thanks so much, Kimberly Del Guizzo, Director of Career Services at Boston University. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. Marco Morales, graduating senior at Olin College. Thanks for coming in and good luck to you.
Thanks.
And Hannah Simpkins, who's going to graduate from BU this coming Saturday. Congratulations to you and best of luck.
Thank you.
And listeners, thanks for your call. Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.